5 minutes past one. You're in Business Insights with Mario and Darren on Alive 90.5. And Mario's not with us today, so I'm flying solo. And we talked with Matt Koopmans before in the last hour. And this hour, I'm pleased to have another person coming back to share some great business insight tips, and none other than Tim Beanland from Bean Talking with Peak Performers Podcast. Tim Beanland is a passionate marketing and podcasting nerd, obsessed with everything to do with consumer behavior and what gets people to take action. Tim is the host of Bean Talking with Peak Performers Podcast. He has interviewed peak performers such as Jim Penman, Edward Zeer, and James Whittaker. After graduating with a marketing degree from Monash University, he decided to follow his passion for marketing and podcasting and go all in on Bean Talking, both increasing his production level of his show and also producing other podcasts for his clients. Now, Tim, we're able to get him across the border virtually from Melbourne. Good afternoon, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Darren. Good to be in spirit in New South Wales, where things are a little bit more on the positive side.
Well, how are you coping down there?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I'm based in Hoppers Crossing, which is Wyndham area, and we have one of the most sort of active spots, I guess, of cases. So yeah, it's been tough, but just sort of doing what we can.
Does it affect your business? And I know you've probably got a bit to talk about as far as how you've been podcasting recently. Has it been due to COVID or just other things in your life?
Yeah, it has. A lot of what I was planning to do with the business in-person aspects are part of it. You know, the ability to run a podcast where you can get footage in person is a lot more engaging than doing one over a Zoom call that I've found.
Totally agree with that. Same for studio as well. Having someone in the studio, be able to look at them, interact with them, is much better than anything remote.
Yeah, correct. And that's, sort of really impacted, because one of the big parts of an income stream that I was doing was, you know, and why I set up this business was I was noticing the conversations that I was having with people were quite valuable, and they would drop a nugget or they'd drop something that they'd never been able to get on camera before, and quite often they were asking, hey, can you give me that footage? I'll pay you for the footage. So just that aspect of it has decreased significantly.
Yeah, so when you're on Zoom, it's not so personable that they can then use footage, say, for their own marketing campaigns. It just...
Correct.
All it would be doing would be talking about promoting whatever video platform you're using. I know we use, like talking about search engines, sometimes we just use a verb and like the search engine or the video platform is those sorts of things. And community radio, we don't try and broadcast any sort of platform. But, it's very hard. And so how are you... I know we use this word a lot at the moment, pivot, but how have you been able to pivot and regain what you like to do?
Yeah, so a big part of what I enjoy doing is teaching people, and I enjoy doing the consulting aspect of, okay, well, you know, I've been doing a podcast now for 2 years. I've been able to have some amazing guests on and got some good reach, and what I find when we go into a bit of a lockdown is there are people that have the time to go, oh, I've been meaning to start a podcast, and there's a segment of the market that just doesn't, you know, you do a Google search, you do a YouTube search, and everything just gets a little bit too much overload of information. So I've been set up a Facebook group called How to Start a Podcast, which has over 300 members in it now. I did that sort of 3 months ago. And essentially what I've been doing is taking people through an introductory session. So basically from concept, idea, all the way through to, you know, having five or so episodes planned, produced, how they can edit them, having a really concise cover art for the podcast. So that's been the way that I've sort of pivoted into more of a consulting people to start their own podcast through this Facebook group.
Oh, no, I'm a member of that group, and thank you for having me in there.
Yeah, no,
as
you've
well.
Yeah. you've contributed probably the most out of anyone in there, especially when it comes to audio stuff, so thank you.
I really love the ideas that people present to you, and I'm just thinking, wow, that's great. So have you interacted with a lot of those like personally, and have you actually seen any new podcasts being born and think, oh, wow, I helped generate that new podcast?
Yeah, one that I work with quite closely, well, there's two. So Home Loan Hacks, which is one run by Martin, my uncle, in the Hawkesbury in New South Wales.
Oh, wow.
So he actually got recognition for a whole bunch of client work that he's been doing based off the YouTube videos that he's been able to produce from the podcast and other initiatives that he's been doing. But a part of that was the podcast, and within Loan Market, they gave him recognition for what he's doing. As one of the finalists of an award night for a consumer behaviour campaign, which was really cool, and that's been one of the podcasts that I've been helping edit, and he's been doing a fantastic job, being consistently on it every month. So that's a great one,
and that's fantastic. Just how do you help people look at the complexity of starting a podcast? I know you've got great tools.
It really depends on where the person is at in terms of how comfortable they feel with equipment and technology and that kind of thing, and the idea. More of it comes down to, okay, so why do you want to start this podcast? Getting really clear around what the benefit of it is for your business. So some people are going to start something because they want to get leads or a lead generation thing. Other people just want their voice out there. So, kind of start at that basis, but then go more into the technical things of how someone can get the show on Spotify and iTunes and all the platforms like that. What filming equipment they need if they're gonna use video. What audio equipment best suits their budget? Because you can start on any budget, or you can really go full into it, which I did, buying a whole bunch of lighting gear and video gear. But, where do you want to start with your equipment?
It's like any business, isn't it, Tim, that you got to start somewhere, but it doesn't mean you have to go all in, but you can actually progress, and as you might make this a revenue stream for your business, you can then increase the tools you use and spend on that to then further increase what you're doing.
Exactly, because a podcast is definitely a long term strategy, like any content marketing is. So if you want to just dip your toe in the water, like I wouldn't recommend buying $2,000 microphones and all the camera gear and that kind of thing. I would recommend starting with lapel mics even, and just seeing if the format is something that you enjoy. So, those are the things that I tell people to do.
That's excellent. And we're just going to take a short break, and I really want to dive into all that sort of basic equipment that can help someone start a podcast. You're listening to Business Insights with Mario and Darren, and we've got Tim Beanland from Bean Talking Podcasting, and Matt Cooper's in the studio listening on as well. Live 90.5.
Alive 90.5.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise. Put up a fucking line. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people $1.50 to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You paved paradise and put up a fucking line. Hey, farmer, put away your DDT. paradise, they put up a parking lot. And now they pay paradise to put up a parking lot. I heard the screen door swing, and a big yellow taxi took my girl away. Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, nah, nah, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Why not? They pay paradise to put up a parking lot. Hey, 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 pay paradise and put up a parking lot.
Market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit Real Property Buyers .com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Thanks, Australia, for doing your bit to help stop the spread of coronavirus, for downloading the COVID Safe app, for keeping your distance and staying at home, for the sacrifices you've made, and for stepping up in these tough times. The changes aren't easy, but they are working. So keep going. And don't forget, if you haven't already, download the COVID Safe app today. Visit australia.gov.au to learn more. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
90 minutes past one, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And we have on the line from Melbourne, Tim Beanland from Been Talking with Peak Performers Podcast, and we're talking all things podcast, but especially how you can start your own podcast. And we know, Tim, it's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely something people overcomplicate, but I guess the message that I like to put out there is, you know, sharing your voice is not as hard as you think.
And you're sharing your voice here at the moment using probably a microphone, and we've got some microphones. And it all starts there. So how much does someone need to spend? Thousands, or how much do I need? A couple hundred bucks?
Yeah, I would start for me, I sort of say if you want to get a start with it, obviously the audio side of things is the most important. If I was to start everything again, I would get, you know, and you want to interview two people, say. I would, and I didn't have much of a budget, I would get two lapel mics, just plug them into my phone, and off I go. So you've got a number of options. The easiest one, sort of plug-and-play solution, is something like the Rode SCL mobile interview kit. This comes with two lapel mics. You also get a little dongle that you plug into your phone, and then off you go. So download like the Rode Reporter app, which is just a recording app, and that's like $250. I'm actually on, you know, even if you didn't have $250, I'm actually on Amazon right now because I knew you were going to ask me the question. And I just put in lapel mics. You can get some pretty decent ones for $30. There's one here that's a Boya for $26. So two of those, like, you know, if you really just, oh, is this podcasting thing for me? Because the biggest mistake people make is they might want to film it, so then they'll just do the audio just from the camera or that kind of thing, yep. You know. So thinking about the audio and looking at lapel mics, you know, they're really good as a starting point. You'll be amazed by the quality that you get just from that.
Yeah, and I'll put a bit of a thought into some questions talking Please. About audio quality. But back to you is... What's the next level that someone can do? Yep. And you're saying things about video and audio, and actually say if someone wants to do a video, maybe just has a simple handycam or something like that with digital, of course, and then yep. the audio kit you just talked about. What are the tips to do it well, and what are the pitfalls of doing that?
Yeah, good thing. So the next level would be okay. Let's look at a camera. Let's then look at decent XLR microphones. So these are microphones that are sort of external, and usually you'd want to run an XLR microphone for an interface like a Zoom H5 recorder or I think Focusrite have some pretty good ones as well. These are going to just get your audio to another level. I changed from just using a plain Zoom H5 recorder with that has two audio things on the top of it. That's how I started. But then I knew later on I'd upgrade, so I did. And then around episode 22, you'll see there's a massive increase in the audio quality because of these microphones that I'm using. I'm using pod mics by Rode, which is quite nice. So that's the upgrade that I would go to next, is looking at some XLR microphones. With a camera, one of the pitfalls people can get into is they might use their point-and-shoot DSLR camera. Everybody probably has one of those, and you might think, okay, well, that does video as well. But the problem that we have with most DSLRs, unless you're spending $5,000 and upwards on something like a GH5, your camera is going to turn off around 22 minutes. So that's a problem that I had for my first 10 interviews. I did that exact same thing.
Yeah.
So what you want to do to get around that is either get a camcorder, which does, you know, simultaneously, or even I've seen people film on their phones. So some phones have the capability to film for a really long time. So you just want to avoid that 22-minute shut-off, because you might have a podcast that goes for 40 minutes. If it shuts off at 20, then you don't have any footage.
Yeah,
so
that's a real good point. It's interesting that limitation in DSLRs is actually comes back to some tax-type issues in the US, and you think, wow, okay, so if you call yourself one thing and limit it, then the sales tax is only a certain level, but makes it all difficult for us. I was just recently helping someone do a 21-minute, it was in the end, and the main thing I found, it worked, as you say, it's below that 22, 30-minute limit, was that at the end it said, oh, I split the recording into, I think it was four megabyte files, about 6.5 minutes each, and I go, oh, no. But the good thing is that I was doing audio separately and the video was seamless in the files, but the audio did skip a little bit. So it's those sort of things you've got to look at as well.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing is audio failing potentially. You know, having that backup. I've done a number of podcasts where I've forgotten to hit record on my main audio source or something's happened. So that again is why I like to say start with the lapel mics, because if you start with the lapel mics, you get to learn how to use audio. But then when you upgrade, say you've got some better XLR microphones like you would have had for that interview, if something were to happen, you've then got that backup of the lapel mics.
That's really
good. That's very interesting.
Yeah, good thinking there, Tim. And the last thing before the break, I just want to put out a thought there for you to comment on as well, is that I've seen when people do video podcasts, they use a certain microphone where and they point it as if it's like a microphone that's a dynamic stage mic and they're talking into the top of it. And you go, no, that pattern's actually from the front. So what I want to put out there is for people to understand their equipment. So if you've got equipment, read the manual. See where you're meant to point it. Make sure you're not talking to the back of it. I think there's a classic music video out there from a classic performer where she's actually singing to the back of the mic. Of course, it's not the audio they're using, but people go, hang on, that's not quite right.
Yeah, it's very common with a Blue Yeti microphone.
That's the one I was thinking of as well. Yeah,
they've got cardioid patterns, which is just sort of a front-on thing. And that means that, people will often try and use it like we use normal microphones, but you're going to get a much better performance out of it when it's upright. But I see that a lot.
Exactly. I've seen that when I've seen the video. I haven't actually listened to that podcast because it's not quite in my field of domain, but I go, I probably will listen one day and just see that the audio won't be as good as it can be. And I think the main point there for our listeners is that if you do the right thing, the audio is going to be the best, because the first thing that switches people off is poor audio. Would you say that?
No, 100%. Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Even if you're a videographer, like I'm looking to pre-video, so audio is very important there.
We're talking with Tim Beanland from Bean Talking Podcasting with Peak Performance Podcast, and you're on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. A quick break and we'll be back and talking more insights on your podcasts.
Alive 90.5. If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, champagne and razor toast.
Hey. Grace is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. East Village, developed by Pace, is a mixed-use residential and retail precinct combining leading-edge apartments and a unique and vibrant urban marketplace. East Village has won numerous prestigious awards, including the 2015 Australian Development of the Year awarded by the Urban Task Force. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1-800-009-292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1-800-009-292.
Station sponsor.
It's All I Listen To. Alive 90.5. Playing cool music.
It's 28 minutes to 2, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And we're talking with Tim Beanland, the host of Bean Talking with Peak Performance Podcast. And still in the studio with me is Matt Koopmans. And Matt, you're thinking about some ideas that you had in your mind that you want to talk about, and particularly a new podcaster.
Yeah, so obviously my inner nerd was all attention when we're talking about equipment and things. But what I'm wondering, Tim, is how do you actually build a listenership? So you got all the equipment, you got it set up. What do you do to actually gain an audience?
Yeah, great question. One of the biggest things is actually consistency. So understanding and committing first off that you know, you need to put out something on a consistent basis. I actually tested this fairly recently where I've taken a month's break from posting myself, and I saw as soon as I posted an episode 2 or 3 days ago, the amounts of plays significantly dropped off from what it usually was. So consistency is one of those things. Obviously letting people know about your podcast as well. So using all of the social media platforms to your best ability, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok is a big one, even though there's some questions about it around now. That's a really easy way to grow. That's one thing. And then obviously the ability for you to edit the podcast into short bits or short grabs, that's the thing that's going to really get people's attention, and as a teaser trailer to go, oh, okay, I really want to go and listen to that. So, you know, my most listened to episode, you know, with Jim Penman, I created a certain amount of snippets from that episode, and people go, oh, this is cool, I'm going to go and listen to that. So I would say consistency combined with creating those short snippets is how you're going to eventually grow an audience.
A few questions there coming off that. The one, yep, with the platform. So what platforms, yep, does your podcast need to be on, and how do you get it there?
Yeah, so it needs to, as an audio platform, it needs to be on iTunes and it needs to be on Spotify. It also needs to be on a bunch of other ones, things like Castbox, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocketbook, Stitcher. So people consume it obviously in different areas, and how you get it on these platforms is you need a hosting service. A hosting service essentially creates an RSS feed, which Google Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all of them, they read it, and then that's how you get your podcast on those platforms. There's a range of them out there. I personally use a platform called Anchor, because Spotify actually owns Anchor, and financially it's free as well. So that's how I get my podcast distributed. Some people prefer other ones. You know, Libsyn is another hosting service which is quite good. They've been around for a very long time. So that's how you actually get it distributed. You need a go-between to get it on the platform.
So the main, the main point there is you need some sort of hosting service. If you're technically inclined, you actually may be able to host it yourself. So Alive, we've gone to hosting ourselves because Anchor wasn't friendly to us, but that's because of our music.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're not promoting any one service or not. And as you say, your need is just audio, so Anchor's fine. Our need is that we have our music mixed in and they just go, no, not talking to you because even though we've got our license. So the main thing there is you've got to have your platform, and anything that generates the RSS feed is the one that you want.
Correct.
Isn't that correct?
Yeah. And I don't want to promote one because different ones do different things, you know, for different reasons. Like you just said, you know, if you want to use popular music in your podcast because you're a pop culture podcast show, then you need to, you know, talk to Darren and, and see what they're doing. Each one has different needs and people use them for different reasons. But that's the key is that you need a go between.
So I was just saying, Matt, you're going to start your podcast now?
I'm definitely thinking about it. It's obviously share my accent with the world. Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
That could be a good start. Any follow-up question?
Well, the thing is, so you got. I love that you mentioned Anchor is free, and as you probably heard in the first hour, I'm Dutch origins. We love free stuff, right? Now, how do you monetize then? So I'm on that platform. Do I just, and I put my message out there. Is it then from the goodwill of people saying, hey, you know what, Matt, I like what I hear. I'm going to pay you money, or do you get paid with listens? How does that work?
Yeah, so monetizing side of things, there's two main avenues that you can go down. The first and obvious one is sponsorship. So if you have particularly if you have a niche podcast that is easy for a sponsor to attach onto, you probably listen to some of the popular ones. The first 2 minutes or so, there's an ad behind it. That way is significantly harder, especially because there's a lot of podcasts and to get to a level where a sponsor goes, oh yeah, that attention is worth me putting money behind. Definitely it's an achievable goal, and I've seen some people do that very quickly. So that's one way. The other way is if you're a business owner and you're doing the podcast as a lead generation thing, then it's all part of an overall content strategy. So you monetize the podcast by then your advertisement isn't an ad for a shaving company or something. Your advertisement that you put in your show is for your business. So that's the way that I've started monetizing mine is before the start of each episode. I didn't do it for the most frequent one, but for the last sort of 10 or so, I've been putting advertisements for, hey, look, if you want to start a podcast or if you are looking to create more video content for your business, then, you know, send me a message. So that's the way I've started to monetize the podcast.
So, Tim, just a thought. You've just had a bit of a break and you're getting back into it. You said that your plays aren't as good as they were. How are you going to work on regaining that? I know consistency is one. Is there anything else that you can tell our listeners what they should do if they need to regain listenership and viewership?
Yeah, I'm just going to go back to basics again. I need to start producing some of that content again, because what happens is, and I found this with a TikTok account that I made. So I got an account called Rescue Turtle up to about 20,900 followers, in a matter of months. But then I stopped posting, and now it's at about 20,300. So if you just stop posting, people will actually unfollow you. So I guess I just need to go back to the basics and get that consistency back again, produce content again. You know, the people that are listening obviously follow me on different platforms. So if I've stopped posting, you know, if they get updated on Instagram and then it's Instagram where they go and listen to the podcast off of, then, you know, I need to keep posting on Instagram again. So that's the way I'm going to get it back, is I need to create more content again. So keep the consistency. That's sort of the answer.
Great messages from Tim Beanland of Been Talking with Peak Performers Podcast. You're on a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario Darren. A short break and back to wrap up the show and learn the best tips from Tim on all your podcasts.
Alive 90.5. Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
A retired couple had a chat with me about implants. They were just sick and tired of being unable to chew a snake and bite into an apple. They were worried about two things, the pain and the cost. After I explained everything, they decided to go ahead with the implants to lock in their dentures. Now they couldn't be happier. They are always smiling.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 28 Winston Hills Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills 2153, or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
The Hills area has one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the Sydney region. Castlebrook Memorial Park at Rouse Hill provides the perfect resting place for your loved ones with manicured lawns and beautifully tended gardens. They cater for people from all backgrounds and you can talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
All today's hits and yesterday's favourites.
Alive 90.5.
40 minutes to 2, Business Insights with Mario and Darren on Alive 90.5. And we're talking with Tim Beanland from Bean Talking with Peak Performers Podcast, who's giving you all the tips about starting your own podcast and everything you need to know, from buying your first mic through to monetizing it and things like that as well. And Matt Koopmans is still in the studio with me. And Matt, you've got another question, which I thought was a really good one, and Tim's willing to answer it. Do you want to take that away?
Yeah, so it's actually twofold, right? So the first part is I consume a lot of podcasts. I love it, by the way. And you know, it's and when I do that, it's when I'm actually commuting. So either with the train and put my headphones in or with the car. Have you noticed with the COVID that people stay more home that you see a drop in listening during commutes, or do you see a change in the pattern when people listen?
Yeah, I for the first, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks, I did see a drop in listening because people's routine, they, you know, they're sort of, instead of that 7:30 to 8 o'clock commute, they maybe were sleeping in a little bit longer and then just kind of going to their work desk. But then as, it, you know, people adapted, people changed, their listening kind of came back. So it was more, I think it was more to do with the people that enjoyed listening to your show would find a way to listen to it, whether that be on their you know, government mandated hour walk or whatever it is. They found a way to actually listen to their favourite podcasts again.
All right.
So, yeah, that was what I found, if that makes sense.
And hooking into that, because you mentioned the, you know, the mandated hour walk and the commutes, etc. Is there an ideal length of a podcast that would fit into that? Do you take that into account when you plan your interviews?
Yeah, definitely. I've found, unless you've got a super-duper popular podcast like someone like Joe Rogan where you can go for 3 hours. you know, I've found that the best ideal length is anywhere, if it's an interview, between 45 to 50 minutes, even an hour is okay. That's sort of the ideal length. If it's a singular show, so it's just yourself, I would say stick to 10 to 20 minutes is sort of the ideal length there for those ones. I am incredibly interested though in doing more sort of really short ones, like 10 minute ones or that kind of thing, just because people and time, you know, that's an interesting sort of psychological thing.
It is. I was going to say that in radio here we have things normally don't go above 7 minutes of talk, or maybe stretch it out to 12, but then you're really, someone might be wanting to do something, might want to go somewhere, or they just might be lacking attention because they need a little switch off.
Definitely. So, yeah, those are sort of the time frames I use. And then at the same time, I'm very interested in what would happen if you were to do a podcast that was like a 10 minute interview and that's it. I'm very interested in that format as well.
Sounds great. Be looking forward to listening to them, and I'm going to listen to your latest podcast later today. I've got it saved, ready to listen.
Oh, thanks.
Well, it's a great topic for me, the voiceover artist, and it's something I want to try and get into. I'll confess I'm a wannabe, and maybe I can break that market. Now, anyone who wants to start a podcast today or in the next week, what can you share with them to help them on their journey?
Yeah, the first thing is a guide that I have, an equipment guide that lists out at different budget options. You know, here's the equipment that I'd recommend if I was to be in your shoes. So people can find that in my Facebook group, the How to Start a Podcast. That's the thing I guess I could share with people. If you're wanting to start today, tomorrow, next week, sometimes the biggest barrier is getting around the mental yourself. So, you know, is this worth doing? Am I worth, you know, sharing my voice? And the best bit of advice I can share for that is, because I still struggle with it, it sort of comes over time. The more you do it, the more comfortable you feel with it. You'll be amazed. Sometimes you'll get a random message out of the blue from someone that said, "Hey, I just listened to that episode and I really enjoyed it." Those are the types of things that, like the small little green flags, I guess, are the things that, yeah, sort of keep you going.
So it's like learning to ride a bike, but you're learning to ride a podcast or develop a podcast. And I've had similar with shows. So Business Insights, I've so lucky to be teaming up with Mario, the great Mario Beckus, and we miss you, and he'll be back next week on Wednesday. But doing this and sharing our skills to make this even better, we get more requests for people to come on the show, and likewise with another show
Fantastic.
Doing the Jim Taggart Spotlight. I've got people who I know who are now asking, oh, you're doing really good, and I've got a story to share. Go, okay, you'll get the invite. And, yeah, it just amplifies. So it's really good that people can think about what they want to do, how they want to share their message, and people like yourself, you've been talking with the Peak Performance Podcast, can give that opportunity. Any last shout-outs you want to give as far as what people can do to reach out to you, Tim?
Yeah, thank you. LinkedIn is a fantastic place. So Tim Beanland, if you look me up there and just send a message, hey, I was listening to the show with Darren. That would be a fantastic place to
Excellent.
Reach out.
And is there only one Tim Beanland in the world?
No, there isn't.
Wow, I'm amazed.
There's. There's a few Tim Beanlands here, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4 others on LinkedIn. So,
but there's no other Tim Beanland with Peak Performance Podcast. So if they just put an extra few words, they'll find you.
Yeah, I've got podcaster marketing nerd in my bio there. So
excellent.
That would be a great place. But if you want to learn how to start a podcast, if you go to Facebook and you search how to start a podcast in the group section. Joining that group, I'm sharing tips in there that I'm learning from interviews and things, chats with you yourself, and Darren, you're contributing in there a fair bit too. So that would probably be the best place to go, because then we can have an actual conversation about what you want to do.
A great resource, and we'll put a link into our podcast of this episode on the Alive 905 website, and so people just need to click through, and then they'll see the group as well. Well, thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Tim. It's been fascinating.
You're welcome.
Always great to talk with you. And thank you, Matt Koopmans, as well, staying
thank
on board.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sharing some great conversational tips. Tim, hopefully you can get out of lockdown soon, and we wish you all the best as Melbourne recovers.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to coming up to Sydney one day in the many distant future to have a chat with you in person.
We want to have you in the studio here at Alive 90.5 in the wonderful Baulkham Hills. And
sounds good.
Looking forward to it. You have a great weekend, and look forward to chatting next time.
Thank
Everyone,
you.
You've been listening to Business Insights with Mario and Darren on Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5.